You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We hope you have a good time. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us a comment, leave us a review. It's a great way to get the show delivered to you once a week and help people find us in the future. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Wii 96.3 to my Jam and 95.5, my dear friend, Andy.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Andy. How are you?
Good. I'm really just rolling into 2019.
Just 2019 just, is
I'm
rolling.
Testing the water, dude.
I said my last Happy New Year 4 days ago. I cut it off.
Now it's sad New Year.
No, now it's not a new year anymore. It's
You're in it. There's no more wishing anything. It's happening.
Yeah. If I haven't seen someone since December of last year, it's, hey, good to see you again. No Happy New Year. It's done.
There's no more festive
2019 is
holiday
happening,
greetings.
And I'm of it. That's nice. my philosophy.
Nice.
Our silent partner, Nate, is with us making the sound happen. Got a real tall order this week because our guests were a rowdy bunch. The, what would you call them? Punk folk band, Andy? Is that a fair assessment?
Old time folky punk band.
Folky punk band with some of that train hopping spirit to them.
Some call it flail grass. Some call it thrash grass.
But you can call them the Bridge City Sinners.
Yes.
So we had Libby, Clyde, and Hunter from Bridge City Sinners in the house tonight. And they had a lot to say. Put a mic in their hands and the words flowed. And it was awesome. So we talked about a lot of different things, sometimes at the same time. And Andy, we got to talk about a lot of fast food tonight.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So before our fast food heads out there and our Subway lovers and haters, we got a segment for you. And we also have some amazing music from them. And Andy dropped some knowledge on us, as he often does.
Yeah, some great music, as always, this week.
You can find Bridge City Sinners at their website. You can check them out on Facebook and across the internet. It's a good Google. Turns up some great stuff. They are playing a show here in Portland on January 24th. It is currently sold out at the Hawthorne Theater, but maybe you can go bum some tickets. I think you're going to want to after you hear our conversation with Bridge City Sinners on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
I got three kids, and they love that Yoda Seagull song.
You've been busy, three
children. Yeah.
I am. And they're busy.
Yes. They get to a point where they kind of keep each other. Do you have a tattletale?
Yeah, all of them.
Really? The tattletale is kind of nice because they keep everybody else in check.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to remind my fiance's son that he, nobody likes a tattletale.
But you do. A snitch.
That's what I always tell them. I tell them, kids, snitches get stitches. Yeah. And they go, what? Yeah, and I go, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.
But don't you want one to emerge as sort of the peacekeeper among the three?
Yeah, but they need to know the fucking rules of the street.
They need to know how to barter information.
They need to know the rules of
they need to know what's
street.
Up.
You can't the playground just, is a rough place, man.
If you snitch on the wrong person, you're done, kid.
I actually thoroughly remember shoving sawdust into a kid's mouth on the playground.
Oh man,
for narking you out.
What did you do to get told on?
No, he was mean to this boy that I had a crush on, and he was mean to him, and so I had other kids hold him down on
this
the ground.
This was playground
and I
justice.
Shoveled sawdust into his mouth. Yeah, and I was like, "You leave John alone."
John. You had other kids holding down.
Yeah.
Me. How old were you when this happened? What?
Oh, God.
Approximately.
I mean, probably like
17.
Nine.
Yeah.
17?
Yeah. Posse of kids.
That makes me think of a different story.
When we were, I don't know, I was in third grade. all of us, all the third grade boys decided we were going to fight all the fourth grade boys, Rumble style. So, like, I took the biggest dude, and he obliterated me. I got my ass
kicked. Did that start the Rumble, though, or did that scare everyone off?
It was in the middle of it. I, like, ran up on him and was like, well, what are you going to do here? And he just, like, threw me on the ground, and it was over.
Oh, ouch.
And, you know, I cried like crazy, and I blew a giant snot bubble out of my nose, and he was like, ugh, and he wouldn't touch me anymore.
So hey, I think you won.
Beat him in his own game.
Oozing out your natural defenses.
And years later, I found out that dude was an MMA painful. Fighter now.
Oh. So, is he really? Like,
yeah. You launched his career.
I launched that dude's career. Yeah. Yeah.
He likes
so if you would like to say thank you.
Yeah, he's like, man, I'm just going to beat Chase the snot out of
him. He developed a taste
He literally
for it.
Beat the snot out of me. Yeah.
Nothing like a booger to
I had a lot of
laugh,
mucus
you know?
As a child. A lot of mucus.
Well, this is a good segue because you guys make, you know, you make music that to a certain kind of person could be fought to. Have you guys ever had fights break out in any of your shows? Have your shows incited
shows?
Violence?
It's definitely been a few altercations.
I mean, not because of the music ever. It's only because everybody's too wasted. Like, and then that alcohol just...
You know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
I once had a man get really aggressive with me because I booed my own band, and he was he was gonna fight me. Like the band was like, "Oh yeah, the Bridge City Sitters are up next," and I was like, "Boo! That band sucks." And this guy turned around and was like, "That band's fucking great!" Like, and really got aggressive and like got in my face and was obviously very intoxicated. And I was like, "Yeah, dude, I'm." Thanks. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Please don't kick my ass.
That's when you take off your cardigan sweater and you're wearing a Bridge City Sinners t-shirt, and that's the big reveal.
It's my own face. I open up a shirt, and inside is a shirt of my own face. Did you hear that? I just clinked my tooth against that hard. Yeah. Craigslist. I mean, for
everybody,
for
like this is a seven person band.
That is,
so
well, the seed, it begins long ago. That's a different story. So, there was a boy who I was involved with from when I was like a teenager until adulthood, and he traveled and played music in a band called Profane Sass. And then he, you know, they hop trains all over the country, down into Mexico and, went to Guatemala and like traveled just all over the place. And he ended up actually dying in a freight train accident. But so he went to high school
when he was hopping trains,
when he was hopping freight trains. Yeah, he did. He fell off of a train and passed away. I was fucking devastated. I lost my mind for a long time, but makes good music, you know. But Scott, our bass player, he went to high school with Tomas, so that's how I knew Scott. And Scott traveled around with Tomas for a while and played bass for him, and they hopped trains and traveled around. And so that was like how that original seed was planted. We had like met up on the street and played music together, but it was like never really planned more than like, yo, I'm in town. Like, and then we would meet up and be like, hey, this song is like this. And then we would just play it. So it was never practiced or anything. But so then I went through a period of time where I was drinking really heavily after Tomas passed. And I like didn't play music at all during that time frame. And once I got sober, I was like, well, duh. Like, why wouldn't I start doing what makes me happy and healthy in the first place? So
what was the thing that made you turn away from drinking and towards sobriety? What was the moment?
Oh, well.
Or maybe the
that's a long story. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was definitely like a lot of moments. And I mean, ultimately, it was just that I was killing myself with alcohol and I wasn't half the person that I knew that I could be. And I wanted to make Tomas proud, his mom proud. She passed away not that long afterwards and she had raised me from when I was a teenager. So. But yeah, I mean, it was like, there was no other choice. It was like either get sober or waste my life.
And then, so when the sobriety takes hold, that's when the creativity kind of comes back.
Yeah, totally. It was like, well, I need to get back to the things that make me, me. So music was like an instant, like thing to come back into my life. I knew I needed it back in my life for me to be like put myself in the right direction, get your head out of like that same space, that same negative space, or at least like put the negative space down on paper so it doesn't just fill your brain
right
anymore. Yeah. But so I started looking on Craigslist because I didn't really know anybody in the area. All my friends who I played music with previously had been travelers or were really, really, you know, in their own addiction. So it was like healthier for me to not to kind of separate myself for a while. So I looked on Craigslist and I found an ad from Michael, who plays guitar for us. And he was just like, hey, like we're in our 20s and we like this kind of music. Like, and we're looking for these instruments. And I wrote him back and I was like, hey, I don't play any of those instruments, but like, can I come play with you guys? And he hit me back and we went to an open mic and the rest, like we just started playing open mics and just jamming around the fire and going downtown and like busking Saturday Market, busking the Alberta Street Fair, things like that. Like wherever, pretty much wherever would like let us play music. We would like creep onto people's porches and be like, we're playing music here now.
That's great.
You want us to be here.
So for you guys were already playing music together and part of this group. And then you guys placed the ad, or how do you enter into this?
They came in later. So it was originally, so me and Michael were, I guess, the core, and we had Amanda played washboard for us. Hi, Amanda, I love you. And Ryan was our clarinet player, and he's amazing. And it was kind of just us at first. And then Hunter here, I was asking him if he would come and play with us. I managed a Hot Topic for a while. And I hired Hunter here as a seasonal employee when he was 16 years old.
This hat seems like it could be a Hot Topic.
It is from Hot Topic.
Yeah.
It was a present.
It's the manager's hat.
Yes. I'm technically still on the payroll, actually.
Oh.
My friend is the owner. And
hold on.
Hold
on 1 second.
Helping with inventory.
I think we got happening right here. Holy shit. This is one of my favorite segments. It comes up every once in a while. It's two people in the house are wearing hats. And Drew is wearing tonight a bee with a baseball
bat. This is a great segment for people listening at home. Yeah, my hat has a bee holding a baseball bat. It's kind of an old timey bee.
Like a bumble.
Yeah, bumble.
Okay.
Classic
when you said
bumble.
Bee, I was thinking a hat with like a bee, letter bee on it.
No.
But
no.
Now I can see that.
No, yeah. It's
it is an insect.
The insect, the stinger. Yes. But he's playing baseball now. Who am I in a hat fight with?
With Hunter here.
Oh, what's Hunter got on it? Hunter, describe your hat for the listeners.
I have a hat that is from White Knuckler. It's like a knife brand.
And I got half fight over.
Yeah, well, and I got it. Yeah, right. Knife. Yeah. Don't bring a B to a knife fight.
No,
tonight, right?
Don't play. Don't bring a baseball playing B to a fucking knife. Yeah, yeah.
But no, I got it on super clearance and got a free key chain with it.
Oh, so nice. Shit. Oh,
and this hat.
I'm wearing both of those right now, but not the knife. I have the knife home.
That hat was an investment. This hat was. Then it's this is like a brand new car. As soon as I wore it off the lot, it just plummeted in value. Man, that was like you getting your ass kicked by that guy in third grade.
Oh, the snot beat.
That's what this hat. Yeah,
it is
this
very
hat
strange.
Fight was a snot beat.
Everyone in the room is wearing a hat.
Yeah,
I feel like that never happened.
Now we have three beanies in the room.
It's true.
Excuse me, how many? How many beanies are in the room?
It's kind of a hat royal rumble, but it's mostly beanies.
Yeah,
I count four beanies in
the room. Now,
Drew, how did that lump sum feel?
Is that your finishing move in the hat fight?
Yeah.
Drew got the lump sum.
Hunter, do you think in the Royal Rumble of hats that the baseball cap with the bill? I feel like that's a stronger in ring, opponent than the beanie.
I will say,
it would hurt much more to have it flung at you.
It's true. It's got a little stiffness.
You're
to
like
it.
A ninja star.
Right. Right.
You can kind of peck at somebody like a weird human duck.
Yeah. With the top of my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this trucker cap's pretty. What is it? Foam and. Mesh. It's nothing.
Yeah, yours has got some sharp edges, but you can also absorb some blows with that cushion in front. Yeah. Well,
absorb some sweat.
Usually the hat fights go on a lot longer than that, but since we wrapped up so early, let's take a time out on the origin story to play a little bit of music.
Yeah.
So you guys have a catalog to choose from. What's the first song you'd like to share?
We don't really have a catalog. We have our album out right now. But I feel like it's kind of our baby album. It still has like our clarinet player, and he's not a part of our band anymore, which hopefully he will actually step up for this new album and be on one of our songs for it, because we love him and miss him. But we've got that album online. We just came here from recording our next album.
But we do
have a handful of videos of more like current stuff, like music videos or like live videos.
Great. Well, what's a favorite to kick us off with?
Let's do Through and Through.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
Oh, okay. It's about the devil. I feel like every song we have at least mentions the devil at some point. It's kind of my thing. I've been trying to venture outside of the devil box, but one of our new songs is definitely about the devil again. So,
and in fact, the new album is called Devil Box.
Oh,
so
that's real good.
Almost like inside the devil box.
Devil Box.
All right. Well, I am stoked to listen to a song about the devil.
Don't say no prayers for me, cause I'm exactly where I want to be. Yeah, I'm a sinner through and through, and I'll be waiting. I'm
It tried to make me drink the holy water, but it was bitter on my lips. It burned my fingertips. I died of choke and died of thirst. Don't say no prayers for me, 'cause I'm exactly where I want to be. Yeah, I'm a sinner through and through, and I'll be waiting in hell for you.
I listened to an episode before we came, and just to make sure that I wanted to come here.
Yeah, you listen to our?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Before I was like, sure, I'll come. Like, I just wanted to make sure that we would get along first.
What did you learn? Did you?
I mean, I showed up.
You showed up. Okay.
Yeah.
We're just like.
Did we say something gross in the episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just likely. Wasn't like incredibly PC, and I was like, sure.
That's how we that lure people right. in.
Yeah.
That's also how we scare a lot of people away.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
That's how we it was a children's song.
That's the way, that's the way we work too.
Yeah, so we originally kind of put this out to the world as a parenting podcast.
Oh, really?
But not really.
Interesting.
No, no. Although Nate and Annie both do have children. They're both responsible fathers against all odds.
I'm a step parent.
That's real. How do you feel about that? Like, what do you feel your role is as a step parent?
Oh, I'm like a super cool friend.
Yeah.
Super cool friend. He has a mom who loves him. His dad is like, takes care of stuff. Like,
yeah. It's more important to be liked in that situation than like fully loved, I think.
Or you could be that piece of shit step parent.
Yeah, right.
You really
scrub the floor, Cinderella.
Piece of shit step parent that turns you into a rebellious, awesome person.
So that you can go,
I made
you're not my real dad.
Yeah.
Those words have I have said them many times. They
I feel like I should go back and talk to some of my like shitty uncles and be like, so you were just pretending to be an asshole the whole time, right? And they'll be like, yep, and I made you cool. And it turns out they were cool the whole time.
It's a big reveal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you were just waiting until I was grown before you turned out to not be a piece of shit.
My uncles were like the ones who'd sneak you beer whenever they could. Hey, 13-year-old kid, you want some beer?
Yeah, I never had like the irresponsibly young uncle. That's what I needed. I needed it for like beer, and I also needed it for like music. I feel like everyone that I know who has great taste in music grew up with like some older brother or son.
I grew up in a trailer park. I had a lot of irresponsible uncles.
See? Yeah. It worked out.
Virginia, that's pretty much the same.
Yeah,
thing.
you got a whole state full of irresponsible uncles.
The state motto.
Everybody's
land of irresponsible
and
uncles.
And my irresponsible uncles, I mean that there were many people who were willing to buy me drugs and alcohol.
A friend of ours had an uncle named Uncle Cool.
Yeah, Uncle Cool. With a K.
Did he smoke Cools?
No, he didn't.
I'm curious about this first Craigslist meeting. So when everyone's together for the first time,
you know,
because Craigslist is a land of weirdos to begin
girl.
With.
And then man seeking woman.
Casual encounter.
Yeah,
how did you guys break the ice?
You can find
with
great things on Craigslist.
Sure.
We found friendship.
Yeah, it was really. We met in like a public place, which is what you should always do when you do anything from Craigslist, is meet in a public area. So yeah, we met at this this open mic, and they were playing, and they were good. So I stayed and didn't hide in the back when they were done. Nice. But that was my plan simple. In case they.
I was hoping it was going to be like a parking lot.
In case
they
sucked,
sort of.
I hid in the back and just watched, like, without them knowing, to make sure that they didn't suck first. Because if they sucked,
you
I was
just
going to like,
them
yeah,
like
I was just going to like out the back door. Yeah.
But I mean, like, did you guys click as people? Because I feel like with a big group like you have,
we do.
You have
definitely
have to have some. You know,
we do. We all. We're all family.
Like friends before the band, right? Like everyone knew each other a little bit.
I mean, not me and Michael at all.
Well, not you and Michael, but you.
But
and
then
Scott
afterwards,
knew each other.
It was like once we like had a little bit of a thing, and we were like, "Hey, we need some more." Then yeah, it was like friends that we found. We didn't continue on Craigslist, but.
Like friends.
Once we actually started playing music and people liked it, then people wanted to play with us.
Yeah, didn't you have like a couple of like before you had Ben, you like
we had trial and error for guitar players. Yeah,
that's how I wanted to join. Was I wanted to audition for the guitar?
Yeah, yeah.
But Ben already got picked.
Yeah, we already picked Ben, and then we were like, "You here? Play this banjo."
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah,
because
Pondra
has a really pretty voice, so we wanted him to stay.
It's the pretty face.
So we made him learn how to play the banjo.
So how did you guys collectively, I guess, all come to this like folk where we're punk at.
Oh
sound.
Gosh, where we're at now? I mean, I always wanted to be in a punk rock band. Like when I was young, that was like all I wanted. And then when I actually picked up an instrument and started trying to play, when I opened my mouth, that's just not what came out. Like I actually always just really wanted to sing, but if I don't play an instrument, I feel like I'm like, what do I do with my hands? Like, it's very awkward. So then I started teaching myself how to play an instrument, as far as like the sound that we have right now, I mean, it's just kind of become that because if you listen to our early stuff, it's like I said, it's like our baby, like little demo. We have like, it's mostly covers. We're like young little busker band. And now, especially like our new album is really like, it's very dark.
Very metal.
It's very dark and like, like more melodic-y parts and more stop and starts and like,
we definitely couldn't be doing what we're doing now, like 2 years ago.
Yeah. We've definitely evolved, and people who like were meant to play with us and stay have like just kind of molded into the band. So
describe how that evolution happens with seven people. How do you make sure that you're kind of like growing at the same pace and are on the same page? Like, how does a song get written when there's that large committee?
Oh, well, usually it's like one person that'll focus on writing it and then like bring it to the band. And then we like take it from there, like all together. Yeah. Everybody kind of is responsible for their own parts.
Yeah, it's like this is the chords, and then we all develop our like own rhythms and style to it. And
yeah, I think like the large part of the songwriting though is like it's like you have a good amount, and Michael added few. Even like and on tour, like there's like.
But you definitely can't have too many cooks in the kitchen though.
For sure, yeah. It seems like having the one person lead is kind of like passing the rock, you know, right. Like
yeah.
Too many divas makes for fights.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Lord knows I am.
Mm-mm. So does the person who brings the core idea, do they sort of like direct that song and they have like kind of the most ownership
over
it?
Yeah, for the most part. But I mean, it just kind of like works itself out, you know? And we all just have to be really good at taking constructive criticism is what it is. Like I have to be able to look at Hunter and be like, oh, girl, no. Like that's not it.
What's the biggest fight that you all have gotten into as a band?
Oh, shit.
A knife fight? You mean a level of fight or what it was about?
Well, I guess I didn't really think about how you define it. I assume that knife hat came as a,
yeah,
like a
no,
reward.
Yeah, no, the fight started with my knife hat, and I beat someone wearing a bee hat. That's how it went.
We don't fight that much. One time I almost said, fuck this tour and fuck everybody on this fucking band.
That was when
Scott yelled at me because the hostel got booked on the wrong day, but that wasn't my fault because I didn't book the hostel.
It's just all late planning. It was hot.
But yeah, it was like in the middle. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning and we were all fucking exhausted, tired, and like, but that was like the only.
That sounds like tour talk.
And I like.
It was right before the break.
About grabbed my stuff.
Our only break on tour. So then like after the break, we all weren't doing music, just chilling. I think everyone was like, okay, no, we're good now. Like. This will get
relaxed.
That
definitely came to a head, but that was like
y'all were comfy at somebody else's house too. It was like there
we invited you to that house.
No, there was the guy said that there wasn't enough room for everybody, and that was like what it had.
We were calling and wondering where you guys were.
Like, no girls allowed. Guy was cool as shit.
We
jammed until the night.
About walked my ass back from San Diego.
Got wet from the beach
to Portland.
What's the smell situation with such a large band on tour?
I smell like. Roses all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Cotton candy.
I also smell like roses and cotton candy.
But no, well, Breeze. You know, these boys are actually pretty good. At one point, we had our friends Ben and Pitch in the band, and we were on tour with them. And literally, I was like, who took their shoes off? And from the back of the van, he was like, there's no way that you could smell that. I literally was like in the middle of taking them off when you said it. And I was like, put them the fuck back on right now. Like, so this, but we actually, you know, people are really nice to you when you travel and play music. When you travel and you don't play music, you're a piece of shit. People don't give you anything at all. People don't invite you into their house. They're not like, sure, come wash your clothes. Sure, come charge your phone. You know, like, people are like, oh, no, you get out of here, you bum. But when you play music, we get, I mean, there's rarely a night. We go out on tour and we have no idea where we're going to stay, and there's never a night that we're not taken care of.
I've done that route, and I'm amazed that people would let a group of like five dudes into their house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had 10.
Imagine ever doing that.
We had 10, 13 people with us on our last tour at one point. How many? All those kids.
See, I like you all, and we've talked for about an hour now, and I still don't think I'd let you stay at my house.
I was gonna say you don't want to let me. You were not. Is that nowhere else?
Hey, man, but
you
let me serenade you for the next 35 minutes with music in a room full of people in like a good situation. And when I'm like, "Yo, who wants to let me stay on their couch?" You don't even realize that your hands in the air. Yeah. And then me and 10 of my friends are jumping on the bed.
A lot of times,
I'm just kidding. We're all really respectful.
I'm just waiting. I'm just like, man, I wish this band would sleep on my couch.
Yeah.
I want this band.
I mean, it depends on how much I like the music.
I would do that in my hometown and like not tell the band. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, like I have like a small apartment. But
you, you can come stay.
I'm also the only person that offered. So. Yeah.
But well, we make do though. We can have like 13 people in a, like a studio apartment and make it work. Totally. And we like everyone is really good about being like judging the situation. Like, is it time for us to stay up all night long, or is it, you know, just come and let's like all like pretty much make a row of sleeping bags and we'll stay up and watch a movie after the show. Like,
we've definitely stayed up all night long in a person's house.
Yeah.
Usually sleep comes in. It's like, okay, we have 4 hours before we have to drive. That's when sleep generally would come in at like, that's like the cutoff at some point. But
you have to drive and start
driving.
Like,
somebody has to go to bed early and it's usually the person who's driving.
And it's me.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, we all have to smell good because we definitely don't look like we smell good. That's why we keep up on the smelling nice.
Guys,
people
I think
can.
You guys look like you smell great.
I find that the cleanliness is the biggest part of like a tour situation.
Yeah,
if you can keep that shit in check.
Keeping the van clean.
You can,
is impossible.
Fart free, relatively fart free.
I'm just saying, free of like junk food, like the bag of corn nuts that spilled 3 days ago, and there's still corn.
Why
nuts
are you buying
everywhere.
Corn nuts?
Hey, when you are on the road, you
have a long
eat whatever you can find.
You can dig in that. But isn't it crazy? Like the second you eat Taco Bell in a car, your car smells like Taco Bell. Forever.
Right, and there's like little shreds of lettuce everywhere, and
little
weird
cheese
powdered
pieces.
Cheese. Yeah, it's like powdered cheese.
Still edible when you vacuum up your car like six weeks later.
The cheese is not a powdered cheese. The cheese is coated in a powder. I wanted to clarify that. It's not like macaroni and cheese.
I think one of the things we talk about the most on the show is Taco Bell. So I feel like our listeners are pretty
I love TB,
on
man.
The composition of their cheese. But I appreciate you for new listeners.
Yeah, right? Did you know that Taco Bell actually does like a sponsorship for bands that are touring?
What?
You just have to like write in, it's a, what's it called?
There's feed like Starving Artists or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of, Illegal Pete's in Colorado.
Feed the Beat or
it.
Some shit.
Oh, wait, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, Feed the Beat.
Feed the Beat. And it's like you apply and they give you like essentially like a
like your Taco Bell card?
Card, yeah.
Whoa.
So talk about if you're listening.
There's a band. I know a band that like is sponsored by them now. This I got them a show in Colorado when they passed through. This band, the Illuminati Hotties, and they are sponsored by Taco Bell now. And they just eat Taco Bell all the time. Yeah,
I would. Yeah. I would sell out.
They could do it.
Taco Bell.
Hell yeah! I can't believe that's never come up on the show.
I'm gonna apply for that for our podcast.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. That's true. We fucking talk about them positively like every other week for like 5 years now. So.
Right
now,
it is delicious.
Right now they brought back the naked chicken chalupa and I'm fucking enjoying it.
Okay. But did you have that like, it was like a sweet barbecue taco?
That sounds disgusting.
No.
You didn't have that?
No.
It was, they had like all these, it was like three different like flavors of taco that came out and they had like different sauce, but there was like a sweet, like sweet honey barbecue. Kind of, it was fucking delicious.
It was good?
It was so good. It was amazing. And I went like every day and got one. And then I showed up one day and I was like, yo, I need that taco. And they were like, no more.
If you'd asked me before this show if I trusted Taco Bell more for breakfast or for barbecue sauce, I would have said breakfast.
Oh, Taco Bell breakfast is garbage.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm here to tell you it is not.
Really?
If you do it the right way.
If you do. Okay. All right.
You have to get a breakfast crunch wrap.
Okay. Well,
they're
fucking
amazing. One of them is filled with sausage gravy.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Right.
I do love gravy. Way.
Yeah, and then they have the California one that's got a bunch of avocados. That's all that means, that they squirt an extra pile of avocado goo out of the gun into it. But I do love that goo.
Speaking of goo, Andy.
Guacamole.
Speaking of goo.
What kind of goo you been listening to recently? What's the song that you got for us?
Oh man.
Crunch. Yeah.
This is actually some of you guys' homies. This is Cousin Boneless from Pittsburgh.
Cousin Boneless.
You released a split with them recently.
We did, yeah.
And that was awesome.
They're all super cool.
They're awesome.
Yeah. They're a great band. They put out a new album last year called Possession, and they plugged in. It's amplified music now. It's not just, they mostly were pretty much an acoustic band up until that point.
Super fun.
And it's awesome, man. And even though that it's like heavier and they have like drums and organ and all that stuff, and it still has the same feel.
Those guys know how to like really allocate the roles of the instruments that they're doing. Like Joey's amazing. Yeah. I traveled a spell like years ago, a storm. Like I met her out at Clifftop, West Virginia, at this old fiddle festival. For all that, and she was a badass musician then too. Mm-hmm. Like
that's awesome.
I used to bust with her in my old bluegrass band.
Shout out to West Virginia.
Shout out to West Virginia.
West Virginia, mama.
Also for lovers.
Take me home.
This is a song off of that album Possession they put out called Pretty Cemetery. Guys had to live in a fast food restaurant, which one would you pick?
Oh, in a what?
And I was at a Wendy's in Wilsonville the
other
day.
That's nice.
They had a fireplace and a TV. And
Wendy's
a
your home or
so
your family. What is it? What's their slogan?
Have a redheaded day.
Have
I forget what it is.
Wait, what
I think
it's like,
Wendy's? Where's, no, it's where's always, the beef?
We'll always have the grill on.
Where's the beef?
That's ooh food.
I think Wendy's was shit, the where's the beef.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I feel like that was
what
a
did you say it was?
Because we'll I feel leave like the grill on for you. That, wasn't that one? It's like,
where's the beef? where's the beef? Is I think you're mixing that up with the Motel 6, which is we'll leave the light
on.
We'll leave the light and the grill. Most of the time, there is a Motel 6 very
we're
near.
We're going to leave the grill on all night long.
Should be like, we won't leave the Continental Breakfast.
Wendy's should be, we'll leave the grill on for you. Motel 6 is, we're always next to a Wendy's. That should be. Always in conjunction.
They're always next to like Motel 8.
Speaking of weird motels, remember, well, Hunter won't remember because he wasn't there, but remember Zephyr Hills when we played the Ramada Inn with Days and Days?
Oh, yeah.
Hunter wasn't there, but.
No, I wasn't.
But that show was hilarious. It was.
But it was just as awkward as you're imagining it being.
It was just like.
In a hotel?
It was a hotel lobby, a Ramada Inn in Zephyr Hills party. In the middle of fucking nowhere, Florida. And yeah, I played this.
Did people show up?
Yeah. The cops came. Man,
people
got
came
wild.
Through, and the co- like, yeah, the cops whoa. Came. There's like this dude was a total piece of shit and just kept causing all this ruckus. Yeah. And then people eventually started chanting, "Beat his ass! Beat his ass!" Wow. In the middle of the Ramada Inn, it was great. Until we found out that his like 11-year-old daughter was there, and I was like, "How traumatic is that to like be in a?" At a show and have the entire room chant beat his ass about your dad.
That's not the first time that's been chanted in a Ramada Inn, though.
Yeah.
That's not an isolated
incident. Welcome to Ramada Inn, where we beat your ass.
That is actually their slogan, is beat his ass.
For people to come in.
There was a hotel in Indianapolis that did a punk rock night on like Sundays.
Yeah.
And it was just like in the hotel.
He was booking all kinds of shows, but I just don't think he knew what he was getting himself into when he booked Days and Days. That's what it was.
Yeah,
but you guys were thinking about fast food restaurants. Like, I feel like what you'd want to eat the most of. But like you said, Rally's. You can't live in a Rally's. There's no like seating in Rally's.
It's true.
I have to live outside. At least we're in Louisiana. It's pretty warm.
I want to live in Popeye's.
There is no seating in a Rally's.
Popeye's has got some things. Oh, that's why I picked Wendy's, because they also have chili and baked potatoes.
Dude, their chili is so good. The hot chili sauce.
You guys at your fast food houses, but like mine's got like a pretty
Does Waffle House count?
I want one of the old school Wendy's, the salad bar.
Does Waffle House count?
Yeah,
you could live in
Waffle House. I choose Waffle House.
You could definitely live in
Waffle
House.
I changed mine to Waffle House.
Wufflehausen.
Does Waffle House count as fast food?
Totally is fast food.
That's why I just asked many times.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
Well,
this is going to be an unlistenable episode because we're all talking at the same time. But
Oh god.
I think it's important to distinguish. So we decided that Waffle House somehow is fast food?
Well, me and my friend here, we decided.
Well, I mean, like,
Andy, you made the ruling. You're a fast food czar.
It's not. It's definitely not fast food, but it would be the best.
It's faster.
I mean... If we're moving over to the world of diners, what are you going to fucking live in a Denny's? No.
Oh, I do love Denny's.
I kind of love Denny's too.
Yeah, I've got I've got a great coupon right now in my email for Denny's.
Oh, you want to go get Denny's?
They just sent me. Oh my god.
I really want to go get Denny's.
Yeah. 80s Pizza Hut is pretty dope. The 80s Pizza Huts were like
the best place. They were cozy and they used to have those lunch buffets.
They had those cool like red cups and like the little like chandelier things, and they usually had a Ninja Turtles arcade game.
I think they're real candles at the tables.
Yeah.
There only was a Miss Pac-Man table. You're right.
Right now at Denny's.
A super sampler.
Super sampler. It is one slice
is
of French
slampler?
Toast.
Is it slampler?
Two.
I can't read that.
It is slampler.
It looks like a super
it's like
slampler.
The super. It's a play on the super slam. The super slam. The
I
super
love it, Denny's.
Slampler.
You always keep it silly, Denny's.
One slice of French toast, two buttermilk pancakes.
Yeah.
Two strips of bacon and two eggs, $5.99. Let's go. What are we doing
here?
Seems
unbalanced. I feel like I should get a sausage patty with that too. I feel like
why would you have pancakes and French toast in the same meal? You're not. It's one or the other. Yeah. Pancakes, French toast, waffles. These are three separate things. You don't eat them together.
Right, but you yet in that slampler you get
in the slampler
pancakes and
the
French
toast. I would like to trade one for a hash brown.
Throw in another meat. Oh, a hash brown. You're right.
That's what we're
totally
missing.
Yeah.
You can eat. You should
the base.
Denny's, you're really missing out on the sweet and salty combo. You gotta have a little bit of both.
What am I supposed to put ketchup on?
Yeah, and as far as
well, you can put ketchup on a pancake, but it's kind of it's not my favorite.
Last I checked, you still can't smoke cigarettes in Denny's, which is a deal breaker.
I think it depends on where you are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm saying that should be one restaurant that is always godfathered into smoking inside.
We play a game on tour. It is a lot like Slugbug, but it's Denny's, and you just punch.
It is
your
a lot
friends
like Slugbug.
When you see a Denny's, because there's a lot of them. I never realized that it wasn't just something that was like local here, but I did a road trip from Oregon and drove to Louisiana and they were everywhere.
But did you mentioned Raleigh's is only Louisiana? It's not.
It's not. It's not. It is.
If you go
further
south,
but I want to live
Checkers
in the one in Louisiana.
Yeah,
I want to live in the one in New Orleans on that corner right there. That's specifically the fat. I mean, if I had to live in a fast food place.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to live in like the Arby's in Monroe or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I forgot about Arby's.
It would be nice roast to live in an Arby's.
Or what's the one?
You're like
the
gelatinous roast beef. Mm. You really, you don't even have to cook it if you don't
want. I like actually, their sauce distribution.
I think
system.
That Arby's could get rid of every other thing except for the beef and cheddar and be a successful business. Like,
I think you're right.
They should just fuck everything else. I would like, it should be a combo of a beef and cheddar, curly fries, and a drink, and that's all they serve.
And their Jamocha
shake. And they
shakes.
Would still stay in business.
That's it.
A Jamocha shake. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh,
what
they're
does Jamocha
like,
mean?
Cherry tarts.
Jamocha is like it's like kind of like a coffee
slur.
Shake.
It does.
It does. It doesn't sound
you
right.
Jamoke.
Yeah.
This all this does is
it's
prove how
Jamocha.
Chubby we all are.
I'm so fat.
Yeah,
you're a string bean of a human, but there's something wrong with you.
I don't know how we can add you in the van sometimes. And take up too much room.
Yeah. Like strap you to the top like a set of skis.
Yeah, give me a. I just need a pool.
For all of
box.
You who don't know, this is our friend Clyde here, and so Clyde is
Clyde
very tall and very thin. He is, if you imagine a shoelace as a human, that is what Clyde is.
The door was open a crack, and he slid right through. Yeah.
He blew right in.
No, just lean. Lean, healthy, clean living, obviously. Yeah.
He's also he's looking for a place to live. So if you happen to have like a broom closet,
like clean living is his slogan.
Space under, like a space under the stairs, floorboard space. You know,
one of those coffee tables where the top pulls up and there's a compartment underneath.
Yeah. Or if there's just enough space between the couch and the wall, I feel like he could really just like
you get a floating
like
couch.
Just like slide in between there.
That's a nice warm spot.
All right, Clyde, good night. And then they put the lampshade on you.
I'm kind of into cupboards. Like, you know, I can just like hand you your cereal in the morning. I also sleep with my eyes open
pantry.
And standing. So
and he's the least smelly.
Yeah.
What about up there? Like I feel like you could just reach
the image
that
of somebody standing with their eyes open snoring is pretty horrific.
Oh, yeah.
That's a... It's a real you know, getting your eyes.
I'd call it a deal breaker. I'd say I'm not going to be living with that person. This person's freaking me the fuck out.
I can only sleep standing at the foot of your bed with my eyes open, and I snore loudly. Cool? I'd say,
it's like,
yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Let's do this.
Speaking of night noises, we got to play a little bit more music. I know you guys have at least one more track that you can share. What's another song that... people would like.
Well, we talked about Profane Sass, and we talked about how Tomas passed away. You want to play Ashes?
Ashes.
This song, me and Scott wrote about Tomas and his family after he, 5 years after he passed away, we finally wrote it. But again, his band's called Profane Sass.
This is my favorite.
This song is about him, Tomas, and his mom, Tony, his sister, Isabel, and his brother, Nico. So his whole BAM family.
Great. Well, let's check it out.
Out of the darkness and into the fire. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Out of the darkness and into the fire. Thank you.
with him now. All the room. Brother, 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 you are not alone. Oh, out of the darkness and into the fire. Oh, oh, oh. Out of the darkness and into the fire.
I love that we have hardly talked about music at all. It's like fast food and murder, and that's like all.
Well, those what are I want to know about really music, if we move away from murder just a little bit, what were you guys listening to when you were like
murdering?
Years
punk rock.
Yeah, Sum 41.
Senses Fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Shadows Fall. That was another one. Yeah. That kind of stuff. No.
Just pure punk rock, and there was nothing else in my eyes.
A whole lot of
when I was
grass.
Like 15, it was like punk rock or fucking die. Nothing else was any good.
Did you?
I literally remember in like my adult years, like early adult, like figuring out that there was other music that was any good in the world. That wasn't like punk rock or like the Chronic album. Like those were like the only things that I ever wanted to like listen or talk about. But yeah, like as an like early adult being like, oh wow, like music is a lot bigger than just
the Chronic.
Yeah,
it's a little
there's also the Chronic 2001,
right?
Yes,
arguably better.
Yeah,
depending it, how you talk
I,
to.
I mean maybe.
So you guys all come from this like sort of punk rock and roll background,
sort of,
but you're playing a kind of, and you know, there's definitely elements of that I hear in your music, but there is like
the new stuff that's coming out. Yeah, you'll hear it a lot more.
Obviously you got like a fiddle and washboard and like stand up bass. So, was it easy for you guys to combine like your punk rock roots and did those things mix together?
I think
pretty
that's
organically?
Why we like, I think that's why we came together in the first place, really. I mean, that's why we all mesh and, because we all come from a similar background and we all have like similar personality and same sense of humor, you know. If we didn't, we wouldn't understand each other. I don't feel like
a lot of it, like, yeah, dude, just like
understanding, knowing what punk rock or harder music sounds like, and then just applying like these older instruments and techniques to the same subject matters, you know, that are
same heart. It's yeah. Have that same heart, that feel that like drew same. You to punk rock in the first place.
Yeah. Like both punk rock and like folk and a lot of the music or acoustic music. It's just like, they're similar in a lot of ways that they're just like, you know, three chords and some complaints.
Some complaints. Like,
yeah, it's there's three chords and it's some just like
a lot
of
those, a lot of complaints.
Yeah, or I mean, there's like an affinity with the dark, darker side of things, and
yeah,
whatnot.
Being the weirdo that doesn't fit in. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
I think there's
like
a lot of
when I heard punk rock music for the first time, it was like I knew where I belonged and like what I wanted to do with my time, and that was like spend time with. Like playing music and being with people who enjoyed the same thing.
So what was the first folk music that got you interested in that part of it?
Oh, shit.
Old Crow Medicine Show.
Kimia Dawson, honestly, when I was younger, like Kimia Dawson was everything to me. I just wanted to like...
She's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I was
she
just
did
like...
the Juno soundtrack?
Yeah, she did,
for sure.
Oh, that's so much more. So
before,
much more.
This was before that, but...
She also did Nam with Aesop Rock.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She was on,
oh, really?
Yeah. She was on Henry Osborne's album Duo.
Moldy Peaches.
Yeah, Moldy Peaches.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just loved her, and she kind of like... That was, I started playing music and it kind of came out and I didn't really, it wasn't anything like what I had told myself it was going to be. And then I heard her music and as like a young, I mean, this, I didn't start playing music until I was like, it's like 18 probably. So, when it came out, I was like, I don't really know what to do with this. And then I heard Kimia Dawson and I was like, I'm young and a girl and misunderstood too. Like, and I think that kind of like opened up a doorway for me to like, be more comfortable with the music that like did come out.
There's definitely like an appeal, to playing like folkier music too. And I don't know if it was like, just like kind of the subculture. Like, I mean, you knew Tomas and we're kind of like tied in with like the whole traveling aspect
mm-hmm,
of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like, with the music that we play, there's like a whole like, I mean, scene
yeah.
of people.
And that's like how I got into it too. From like, I remember I played a lot of like electric music and tried to play punk rock, like played a lot of ska.
I can't play an electric instrument.
Do you think that's why it kind of caught on with kids who like travel on trains is because they play acoustic instruments?
I think
they can play it anywhere.
Was like, it made it easier to, you know, like that lifestyle, but there's also like an affinity with that stuff.
Old
I
time
think,
country,
too.
Yeah, because mm. old time country yeah. is really popular in like the train hopping traveling scene.
Yeah,
like real like Jimmy Rogers, mm-hmm. Hank Williams Senior,
a lot of
like
Glenn Campbell,
Doc Watson,
yeah.
Like
Loretta Lynn,
like Woody mm-hmm. Guthrie, all these like yeah, troubadours.
So it's like we all started listening to that and realizing how much we loved it and how much it like, I mean. Like, I remember listening to Doc Watson and being like, this music speaks to my soul. Yeah. like, just, like, feel when, like, the instrumentals, like, make you feel as opposed to the words. Like, when the actual music makes you feel something. But that's, I feel like the kind of, it was, like, the appreciation for that and the love of that music and then the love of punk rock. And it all just kind of, like, came to a head together.
Yeah. We're like really lucky to be like in a being musicians in the era of where we are. It's like not a lot of people before, like we're kind of like the first few generations that kind
of
got to have like, you know, we could listen to
both.
Yeah. It was like, I could listen to Modest Mouse and Doc Watson and like Stravinsky in like mm-hmm. the same day and have all that. Like,
it's true. There was like so much more accessibility
cool. yeah.
to all kinds of music, as even me, a little bit older, but as we were
even old
up,
Drew,
yeah, I mean, it's
even
like,
old Drew.
Just thinking of like the accessibility of music, like
oh, totally.
10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I can remember
like so
only knowing
harder.
About something because my friend had like downloaded it from like LimeWire, and I could like attach my thing to her computer. You put your
FireWire in her LimeWire and get all the data.
Yeah, and it was like, unless somebody told you about it or played it for you, you didn't know about it. Like, but now it's like you type in a band that you do enjoy in YouTube, and then it gives you like 10 other bands that are similar in like in like the suggested videos. And you, it's so much easier to find new music and local music. And we wouldn't have half the success we had right now if it wasn't for social media.
Well, and it makes sense that sounds would evolve to blend a lot of different influences, because people are just like, it's so much easier to like follow those concentric circles.
Oh, you
got to
keep
influence.
going with it, or it will get stagnant.
So where does that, like, where do you guys foresee the sound going? Is there any,
so
goals
much, like,
for the band?
Oh, just like so much meaner. Just
Taco Bell sponsorship. Definitely Taco Bell
sponsorship.
Taco Bell sponsorship. I don't know if we'll find out if we don't have the Taco Bell sponsorship.
Yeah. We can't go on. But yeah, just like a lot meaner, like more technical.
Did you hear that, Taco Bell?
Just like like we were talking about, that feeling of wanting to like bash your head against a wall. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I want.
That seems like kind of like a trend. Or I mean, I don't know, like
bashing your head against a wall is a trend.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool.
Like, changing styles.
You
want to
go
like,
do that?
You guys all want to do that after
you
the show?
You want to just go bash your head against the wall?
Over at Denny's?
Just let's suicide pact it up at Denny's. Like, you know.
In the Denny's.
What the fuck
sure.
is up, Denny's?
Well, you know, I think that's a good place to end. I think suicide pact at Denny's, name of the episode.
Now let's go do it.
That's where we're headed. Thank you guys so much for coming out and hanging out with us and playing some great music.
Yes.
Thank you for letting us do this.
What's the best way for people to keep track of what you're up to? And
Facebook, Instagram. We have an Instagram. It's mostly used for us just posting like silly shit. But
I think we still have a vampirefreaks.com account.
If you
sign up now,
we tried to make a band Tinder.
Well, you just made it. Ended up making
the band. It has to just be for us.
It can only be one.
It ended up just being my Tinder, and then now I was just left for a Tinder that I don't use, so I deleted it.
I take it from him, and I swipe.
Yeah,
on girls.
There's a lot of people dating the same people in the band. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say for my part, Bridge City Cinders is a good Google. You know, not every band gets good returns, but you guys, Google your name.
Yeah,
some
hey.
Good shit out there.
I'd be a liar if I said I never Googled myself.
Yeah.
yes.
And you guys have a website too, bridgecitycenters.com.
Yeah, we have a show coming up, but it's sold out, so I'm not going to tell you about it because I don't want to get your hopes
up. It's a show that...
You're more than welcome to show up and like try and find some... You
come
know,
meet us around back.
On
bring some Denny's.
Try and sneak you in.
Slampler your way in.
That's with Amigo and the Devil and Harley Poe, just to plug them in here because those are two really amazing musicians.
And that's on the 24th.
It's on the
24th,
yes, but it's sold out. But
bring
we have
Taco Bell and come hang out with us in the back alley. Maybe you get in.
Please bring Breakfast Crunchwrap.
There's always people that fall asleep in that Fred Meyer across the street, so you can probably get their tickets.
Yeah. Hey, that Fred Meyer used to have like a sushi bar that you could and you could use your food stamps to pay for
and
it.
And it was really good sushi. I would go there after work specifically to.
I went in there the other day and they tore it out. Yeah. I was
bummed. Down the street from there, like two blocks right above Duke's
food
Coffee.
Stamp sushi. I used to like make dates with people and be like, "You want to go get food stamp sushi? Like, let's go." Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
It's a great way to spend my food stamps.
Talk about a cheap date. That's like the cheapest date.
Cheapest date. Yeah.
Food stamps. Sushi at a grocery store.
That's it. Yeah. We changed our mind. Now we're gonna go get food stamp sushi and bash our heads in.
In February we do have there is going to be a show. We have Lewitt Brewing Company in Vancouver. They are making a Bridge City Cinners beer.
Nice.
Whoa,
I know,
awesome.
Right? It's supposed to be like lemon blackberry beer.
Whoa.
I said I wanted it to have black food coloring and edible glitter, but I was vetoed, but whatever. I'm still bitter about it.
Sparkle sludge is off the table.
I think I give the people what they want. People want glitter.
Well, that's awesome. So next month, Vancouver.
Yes.
Get out there and drink some Bridge City Cinners.
And then we're going to do one at White Owl, too. It's going to be like that first week of February. And they're two like pretty much back to back. So there'll be room for people to come.
Awesome. Well, we'll let people know about that.
Yeah, check the Facebook.
Facebook.
Well, thanks again for being here, guys. Really appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes.
And thank all of you for listening to this week's episode.
Yeah, and thank you for listening to the whole thing because you're hearing this
the
right
whole
now.
Thing.
You got it.
You got all the way to
you
the end.
They stayed for me.
Yeah, you're we so love close. You guys.
We recently qualified for some advanced metrics through iTunes,
yeah.
which is a big benchmark for us.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out people tune out a little bit right before the end. So if you've made it this far, you know, you're one of only hundreds.
That's right. 12 toes in each
foot.
You got
to talk about all your
seven fingers
on the
hand.
Yeah.
All your garbage.
All the deepest fears.
All of the hot garbage.
Well, before this falls off the rails, Andy, I want to thank our listeners this week. If you want to reach out to Andy, Nate, and I, you can do so via email, hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. HAUTE, garbage podcast. And we love hearing from you. So tune in. And then, Andy, what are we going out on tonight?
Oh, man, this one, I came across this week, and I love this. This is a band from Finland called Slackbird. This is a duo. It's a banjo and accordion duo. Mostly, it kind of started as just one guy and his banjo. And it's kind of evolved to a duo now, and sometimes more if the occasion calls for it.
Hunter's autobiography is one guy and his banjo.
Yeah. He sings in Finnish and English. This new album he put out is called Elita Au, A-L-E-T-A-A-U. And it's all in Finnish. And it's still just like, this song is an earworm. This is off of that. It's called Uni. Oh, shit. Strap it on and put it on your head. You're going to like this one, people.
Is that a phrase that you're throwing out there now?
I don't know. It felt right.
Well, we're going out with a bang. Well, for Bridge City Sinners, for Andy, for Nate, this is Drew. We will see you next week on Hot Garbage.
Bye. Kuljettiin maisemaan.